I'm Laura Henson with J. Proctor Farms in Lingerville, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
We're getting very close to spring planting time in the Texas High Plains. I'm James Hunt, and coming up on Texas Ag Today, we'll hear from a veteran farmer on his crop choices.
Watermelon acres are down in the Texas Rio Grande Valley as the harvest of the crop is approaching. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have more from the Lower Rio Grande Valley on Texas Ag Today.
The U.S. Trade Representative's Office has released a new report outlining barriers to agricultural trade. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Carrie Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. The American Association of Bovine Practitioners has released a new name for highly pathogenic avian influenza in cattle. The new name is BIAV, which stands for Bovine Influenza A Virus. The organization's president and executive director are asking other organizations, state animal health officials, diagnostic labs, and federal and state agencies to use bovine influenza A virus to be consistent with messaging and to better distinguish the disease syndrome in cattle from the one in birds. We reached out to the Texas Animal Health Commission about this new name, and we're told they will not use the new name for now, continuing to call it highly pathogenic avian influenza virus A in dairy cattle. The new name recommendation has not been approved by the USDA, so the Animal Health Commission will stay in step with USDA at this time. Drought conditions continue to improve across the state.
According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, 54.66% of Texas is now drought-free. That is an improvement of 15 percentage points from 3 months ago. 25.1% of the state is still suffering from moderate or worse drought. That's down 14 percentage points from the same time 3 months ago. Nearly 2% of the state, mainly in far west Texas and in a few counties in south Texas, is experiencing extreme drought. The Drought Monitor estimates that 4.7 million Texans live in an area impacted by drought. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
And speaking of drought, the past 2 years have taken a toll on Texas pastures and rangelands. Jody Stockett is a pasture and range specialist with Corteva in West Texas. She says ranchers need to be careful when restocking drought-stressed rangelands.
We have lost some rangeland health conditions. We've been forced to use our pastures a little harder than we probably would like to. You know, going forward, I think what we're going to have to really be cognizant of is not to get too excited when we first see that little bit of green grass popping through the ground with the first moisture that we've had. We've been fortunate to get some moisture this winter, but with the economics like they are in beef cattle today, everybody's looking at retaining replacement heifers and growing that herd. I think we really need to be cognizant of that condition of the rangeland and restock slowly. Give that grass a chance to recover before we just cover it up with cattle.
Stockett also says a good weed control program is critical.
Weeds can be very opportunistic and show up in those voids where maybe we've lost some of our grasses, our desirable grasses. So a good weed control program, I think, is going to be important for our producers as they go forward.
That's Jody Stockett, a pasture and range specialist with Corteva in West Texas. We're getting very close to spring planting on the Texas High Plains. James Hunt talks with a veteran farmer on his crop choices this year.
When he begins planting his crops in about a week or so, Dale Artho says the first to go in will be corn. all of it, being grown for food products like tortillas. So why specialize in growing corn for human consumption?
Well, I think there's more challenges to it. We have food safety issues, and I like to make sure that what I'm growing is going to help someone else. I don't know how to explain that, but it feels like I'm giving back into society by growing things that people consume directly. We can grow beef. That's where feed grains go, mostly is in meat production market, whether it's poultry, pork, or cattle. The food corn side, though, I find it to be very interesting because of some of the things that we need to do to make sure that we grow it to meet the specifications for human consumption.
Dale Artho will also grow cotton and sorghum. Now, what does he anticipate for profitability this season?
So much is dependent upon weather. If we get adequate rainfall and we don't have to run our irrigation pumps and we can cut back on energy costs, that affects my bottom line tremendously.
Artho says other factors likely to come into play, economically speaking, are input cost inflation and the impact of a strong U.S. dollar on export competition.
You know, it's easier for other countries to go and buy from Brazil or other countries, Argentina, and not buy from the United States because of the strength of the U.S. dollar afforded to their currency. So I'd say the macroeconomics of the dollar have more effect on the bottom line of my profitability than any single thing.
Dale Artho farms in Deaf Smith, Oldham, and Randall counties. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
And while crop planting is about to start on the High Plains, Rio Grande Valley farmers are preparing to harvest watermelons. Tom Nicoletti visits with a Valley watermelon farmer.
Watermelons are the largest annual horticultural crop in Texas. From the southern high plains and rolling plains into eastern Texas, the Winter Garden, and the lower Rio Grande Valley, farmers grow watermelons every year. Michael Helley is one of those producers. He farms a wide array of crops in Hidalgo County in the Rio Grande Valley. Talk about the progress of your crops at this point, the watermelons, honeydew, the onions.
Okay, the onions, we've planted in October. We started harvesting a couple weeks ago. We harvest through the month of April. And then watermelons, we usually start the 1st of May. That lasts about a month or 5 weeks. Honeydews, about the same time frame, May to June. And then, after that comes the peas and then the corn.
Right now, what does your watermelon crop look like?
We're in setting stage. We're about a month away from harvest. So, you know, we got them big as softballs down to, you know, big as your thumb. Same on the honeydews. Seedless watermelon.
Right. And what's your market for those watermelons once you've harvested them?
Well, they all go to retail stores. It's a supply and demand market. So watermelons are really, really high right now. Mexico had some bad weather. They're 60 cents a pound. That's like record high. But usually around here, we hope for 30 cents, but sometimes it'd be less. Mother Nature's played a role in so many things this year. And like watermelon acres is down because of our water situation. My best estimate is 1,000 acres less here in the Rio Grande Valley than on a normal year.
Of course, those watermelons are going to be popular moving into latter part of spring and then, of course, in anticipation of Memorial Day.
Correct. That's our market.
Those comments from Michael Helley, a farmer in the Texas Rio Grande Valley. I'm Tom Nicoletti with the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
The U.S. Trade Representative's Office has released a new report outlining barriers to agricultural trade. Jessica Domel has the story.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates that this year, $170.5 billion of agricultural commodities from the United States will be exported to countries across the globe. While $170.5 billion is a lot of money, the American Farm Bureau Federation tells us the U.S. would be in a record agricultural trade deficit of $30.5 billion. Fueled mainly by a reduction in the value and volume of exported soybeans and soybean products. The U.S. is also dealing with other issues when it comes to exporting U.S. agricultural goods. The U.S. Trade Representative's Office recently outlined some of those barriers to trade in its annual National Trade Estimate Report on Foreign Trade Barriers. In the 394-page report, the USTR says China has not yet implemented some of the more important commitments it made with the U.S. in a trade agreement in 2020. The report says China has not followed through on its promises on agricultural biotechnology. The country has also reportedly fallen short of its commitments to buy specific amounts of U.S. goods in 2020 and 2021. The report also outlines the U.S.'s concerns with Mexico's stance on agricultural biotechnology, saying certain decisions were not based on science and were subject to significant delays. USTR says Canada's supply management systems to regulate its dairy, chicken, turkey, and egg industries, which involves production quotas and tariff rate quotas, severely impacts the ability of U.S. producers to increase their exports to Canada. There are also concerns with India and Turkey's procedures and requirements for biotechnology approvals. A lack of uniformity in the European Union is also impacting U.S. agricultural exports. The report says U.S. stakeholders continue to face challenges in having to address disparate policies or procedures across member states of the EU. Those challenges include differences in customs, labeling, biotechnology, packaging waste, government procurement, investment, and intellectual property protection and enforcement. USTR says it will use the report as part of its toolkit to open markets for American workers, farmers, ranchers, small businesses, and communities. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
This is James Duncan in Marshall, and in East Texas, we're gearing up for all types of spring festivals, wildfire viewings with trail rides. Plus, our vegetable growers are really looking for warmer weather than what we've had recently.
And there's a parasite that can cause a contagious infection in young dairy calves. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories, plus a look at the markets, are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include, but are not limited to, livestock, feed, buildings, fences, and equipment. Unreimbursed additional expenses, such as temporary pastures, will also be considered. Completed application for assistance must be submitted by May 31st to a local county farm bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
We're heard on over 140 great Texas radio stations. This is Texas Ag Today on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Spring activities are underway in East Texas. James Duncan has this update from Marshall.
In and around East Texas this time of the year is one of a forest wonderland of beauty. As we look into the greenery of the pine trees and the maples and the oaks, the cottonwoods, the bottomland, the hardwoods, things like that coming out. And then you mix in the plum bushes and the dogwood trees. Dogwood trees have been absolutely gorgeous this year. Just a really beautiful opportunity to see God's nature when you travel around a little bit in our area. Now, of course, we produce a lot of cattle, not as many as we'd like right now, but we do have still good production in East Texas. And along with that comes the green grass of the pastures and also the green grass of home. You can sing about it in all the songs you want, but you still got to mow it when it starts growing. And it's growing right now, and the lawnmowers are running. But you manage your meadows in the spring and summer for beauty all year round. Do the same with your lawn. I listened to my old friend Neil Sperry on his program, and he's always talking about do this regular, do these things. Same way, same thing. Maintenance in the yard, maintenance in the field. Now, the hay meadows are being limed out right now. And that's good because when the real expense of putting down nitrogen to get better and greater growth nowadays, you got to have everything ready to get an optimum production out of what you spend on fertilizing your hay meadows and your grazing areas. Cattle are still grazing winter pastures in East Texas. They're doing really, really good. We want to keep that up. Keep a close check on them to make sure they're getting plenty of minerals and the like to go along with this forage because it's still got a lot of water in it and they don't gain quite as much solid weight as they do just a lot of moisture right now. So just watch those things in your management. Keep them healthy. Keep them growing. And those cows that are having calves right now, give them a little extra still along to keep that milk production flowing so those calves get off to a good start. They're going to be worth money when they come a time to wean off the mama cows nowadays. So remember all of those things. Come on by and visit with us in East Texas. The roadsides are full of beautiful wildflowers. And join in me traveling around East Texas and enjoying every bit of it. This is James Duncan from East Texas reporting for Texas Ag Today.
There's a parasite that can cause a contagious infection in young dairy calves. Dr. Bob Judd has the details.
University of Pennsylvania dairy extension educators and researchers Melissa Cantor and Haley Springer indicate that the parasite Cryptosporidium parvum sheds tiny oocysts that infect calves, and the oocysts have a hard outer shell that encases and protects the parasite. The Pennsylvania researchers shared in a recent bulletin on Cryptosporidium parvum that just one tablespoon of feces from a crypto-infected calf contains enough oocysts to infect dozens of other calves, and the oocysts are difficult to kill because of that hard outer covering. However, the researchers indicate the parasite does need moisture to survive, so the most effective method of controlling the parasite is to remove moisture from calf environments and feeding utensils by frequently removing soil bedding from calf pens. Also, remove humidity in calf environments and clean bottles, pails, and nipples with 160-degree Fahrenheit water, and then let them dry completely after each use. The researchers indicated pens can be sanitized after cleaning by spraying them down with a 3% hydrogen peroxide solution and allow them to dry completely before returning calves to the pens. If you have metal pens, be sure and rinse them off after the hydrogen peroxide, as it is an oxidizer and can lead to rust. Calves infected with Cryptosporidium become weak and lethargic and usually develop scours at 7 to 21 days of age. They also have poor nutrient absorption, decreased growth, and reduced feed efficiency. There is no effective treatment for the disease, and the disease can be spread in the drinking water. It can also cause disease in humans, so always wear gloves when treating a sick calf.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feed, buildings, fences, and equipment. Additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications must be submitted by May 31st to your local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how our markets wrapped up on Wednesday. We saw cattle futures trade on both sides of unchanged. However, in the last hour of trading, things kind of fell apart. Triple-digit losses across the board on both live and feeder cattle. Here's how we wrapped it up. April live cattle down $1.62, $179.07. June down $2, $172.85. August down $1.90 at $170.65. April feeder cattle down $2.42, $238.27. May feeders down $2.92 at $236.52. August down $2.50, $247.60. Cash fed cattle sales still mostly quiet for the week. We do see bids from the packers here in the Southern Plains coming in at $180 to $182. However, feedlots are asking $186, so no sales so far to report. Boxed beef prices lower. Choice was down $2.85, $2.99.24. Select down $2.32 at $2.97.58. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Riley Rhodes and family from Live Oak Livestock have a sale every Monday. Riley, how did it go?
Ended up with 1,512 head today. Pretty good volume and a good market test. Had some pairs bring anywhere from 1,250 up to 2,200. Some bred cows from 1,200 up to 2,100. Packard cows were pretty much steady, maybe a couple dollars cheaper, 134 to 144 on your high-yielding cows, 120 to 136 on your breakers. $1.94 to $1.28 on your canners. High yielding Packer bulls $142 to $156. Low to medium yielding bulls $120 to $142. The 2 to 3 weight choice steers $322 to $364. Heifer mates $308 to $348. 3 to 4 weight choice steers $318 to $368. Heifer mates $304 to $340. 4 to 5 weight choice steers $302 to $362. Heifer mates $248 to $316. 5 to 6 weight choice steers $258 to $308. Heifer mates $226 to $254. 6 to 7 weight choice steers $238 to $272. Heifer mates $220 to $246. And the 7 to 8 weight cattle your choice steers $214 to $242. And the heifer mates $206 to $224. With everything that's been going on in the futures market, they kind of gave it opportunity to be a little cheaper today, but still a really strong market.
Tell everybody how to get a hold of you, Riley.
361-813-6650 is the cell. 361-786-2553 is the office. LiveOakLivestock.com is the web.
And the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network and Walking the Pens is the program you need to seek out for livestock market operator reports. I'm Larry Marble. I'm your host. Good day to you, my Texas farming and ranching neighbors.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market, where lean hogs finished mixed. The nearby April contract was up $1.15, $91.75, but May hogs took a drop, down $2.22, $96.55. Class 3 milk was lower. April milk down 7, $15.49 a hundredweight. The May contract down 5, at $16.65 a hundred. Cotton closed mixed. The nearby contracts, the old crop lower, with the new crop December finishing higher. Higher inflation data came in, which rallied the U.S. dollar and sent the stock market lower. That kept a lid on any gains in old crop cotton. In fact, it sent the May down 73 points, 85.31. July down 77, 87.07. The new crop December up only 7 points at 81.43 cents. Corn finished slightly higher. Traders anticipating Thursday's USDA WASDE report. They're expecting USDA to lower U.S. ending corn stocks to 2.1 billion bushels. That due to an active export pace for U.S. corn. May corn up 3 cents, closing at 434 and a quarter. July corn up 3 and a quarter, 445 and 3 quarters. With September corn up 2 and a half, 454 and 3 quarters. Big rally in hard red winter wheat. Traders anticipating hotter temperatures in the southwestern plains this weekend. However, we didn't see that rally in soft wheat. Here's how we close the wheat complex out. May Kansas City wheat up 17 and a quarter, 594 and a half. July up 13 and a half at 587 and three quarters. July soft wheat in Chicago up 1 and a half, 573 and a half. In the energy markets, May natural gas was up a penny, $1.88. May West Texas crude oil up $1.04, $86.27 a barrel. The financial markets lower, with the Dow dropping 413 points, 38,470. The NASDAQ down 136 at 16,170. The S&P down 45, 5,164. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.